Okay, let's get started tonight. Our Father in heaven, holy is your name. We thank you, Father, for this opportunity to get together and study your word and look at the things that you have done for us, some of the great and wonderful blessings. We pray, Father, that you are pleased by what is said here tonight. We pray that you will help us get into your word and enjoy it. We pray that you will get glory, and we pray that we will be strengthened by it. We ask you, Father, that you look after our pastor, bring him a complete recovery, and be back with us on Sunday. And we thank you, Father, that the operation went well, and we pray that you will be with us in tonight's study. And we ask this in the name and authority of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. I start off the way I start off every time that I hear that I needed to preach, and this goes back months. I pray for help. And what should I say? And the message that came to me months ago, 4 months ago or so, was to preach on blessings. Now, if I just started preaching on blessings, we'd be here all night long. So I got to find some way to condense this down a little bit. So as long as that's what I've been gifted to do, let's talk about blessings. Introduction, part one. It is my intention tonight to praise God for what he's done for us. And God knows he's done a lot for us. We don't have time for everything, but we can certainly talk about some of the wonderful things he's done for us in our life. Things that only God can do, because they are great and wonderful things. There are some blessings that are in common to all saints, and then there's some blessings that are very personal that might be to only one of us. But the blessings are still there, and the blessings are from God. So that's kind of step one, to praise God. It is also my intention tonight to try to edify the saints. And if you're not familiar with the definition of edify, that is to instruct or improve someone morally or intellectually. Now, I won't be doing the improvement on you, but I certainly expect God's word and displaying his works on us to do that as we look at his blessings. Also, my intention tonight to try to increase the peace, to lead us toward greater contentment. And given the times we're at right now, this would be a wonderful thing if we could head more in a peaceful direction. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4 reads, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything. And in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And the peace of God does indeed surpass all understanding, because how we got there and how we get this peace is a peace we didn't have until we started digging into the Word and the Spirit started working on us. And those of us that have a greater content than pre-God days, you know, before we started coming to church and hearing the Word and hearing good teaching, we have a greater contentment than we ever had. That is one of the greatest gifts God can give you, that even in difficult times, you can have a contentment. And there's certainly difficulties to deal with. My father just passed away last week, and it's not easy, but God is still on his throne. And God blessed me in that our relationship got better and better as the days went on. And he lived all the way till 89. That's pretty good. I have peace in that, and I certainly have contentment that I had that much time with my father. So it's a peace that surpasses all understanding. Introduction part two. When a person says thank you, it kind of leads to the next question of thank you for what? If I were to just say thank you, Carol, and then go talk to Elizabeth, that should leave Carol scratching her head going, what was that all about? It helps when you thank somebody if you take the time to say what you're thanking them about. That you care enough about what they did that you would actually spell it out so they would know what they did. They would know what they are being thanked for. It's just a reasonable thing to do in the human-to-human interaction that when you say thank you, specifically name what it is that you're thanking them for. Likewise, if you have to apologize to someone, say what you're sorry for. Just saying I'm sorry typically doesn't work. And I saw a great YouTube video a week or so ago. It was a two-year-old girl at the bottom of her stairs, sad as could be, saying I'm sorry to her dad. And her dad kind of said, well, thank you, honey. I'm glad you said that you're sorry. And she said, I'm sorry again. And dad says, thank you. Well, what are you sorry for, honey? She paused and just said, I'm sorry. Evidently, that's worked in the past. So she's sticking with something that works. And she says, I'm sorry again. And dad again moves to, what is it that you're sorry for? I don't think the video ever got around to what she was sorry for, because I don't think she could come up for an answer. But she stuck with plan one, and that was just to say, I'm sorry. And that's kind of the kind of sorry that you want to put out when you just want to repair a relationship. Maybe you're sorry for something that you didn't do, or at least you have no idea what they're talking about, but they think they've been offended. And you're faced with, well, I can say I'm sorry, but since I don't know what I'm sorry for, the only thing I have with me is just to say I'm sorry. And maybe that will somehow repair the relationship. But you don't know what you're sorry for. But you go with it anyway. Sometimes that's the way I'm sorry works out. Yeah, that's what happens in the human-to-human interaction with thank you, say what you're thankful for, and sorry, say what you're sorry for. Now, how much more important is it when we're praying to God and saying thank you that we should take a minute to say exactly what we're thankful for and what he's done for us? Because he's done great and wonderful things, far more than a human being's going to do for us. So when we say thanks to God or when we ask for forgiveness, it seems all the more sensible that we should be able to be specific about it and what we want to thank him for and what we want to ask forgiveness for. And sure enough, in the prayer in Matthew 6, when Jesus tells us how to pray, Jesus says, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I'll stop at that point. Jesus here lifts five sections in that first part. The first section is Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. In other words, let your name be kept holy. Let your name always be treated with reverence. That is step one with what God wants to hear from you. And that's Jesus telling you what God wants to hear from you. Let your name be treated with reverence. The second line is Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is done in heaven. Well, isn't that what this book is all about? I mean, we end up in Revelation with the kingdom come. And once again, Jesus being in charge and ruling in the kingdom, that's what the book leads to. So it's no surprise at all that the second thing that would be mentioned in the instructions on how to pray would be your kingdom come. Mention that second. The third thing was give us our daily bread. 2,000 years ago, finding food was quite difficult. There was no fast food. There wasn't even refrigerators. There was just hope that you could find food, and it took a lot of effort to do it. So that is an important thing. Give us this day our daily bread, because food is always an issue back at this time. And then the fourth point, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And that leads to I'm sorry. The fourth thing in the list is God telling you how to say, I'm sorry. Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. In the same way, when somebody comes to you and says, I'm sorry, you should be able to forgive them. And when you apologize to them, the most effective way to apologize is say what it is that you're sorry for. And that's the fourth thing mentioned in Jesus' prayer here when he tells us how to pray. Introduction part three. In our hymnal here, hymn number 370 is Count Your Blessings, which we are very familiar with, sing it all the time. And that is going to be the centerpiece of what I want to do tonight as we take some time to count some of our blessings. The first one would be the earliest of the blessings, before the world was even formed. The earliest of the blessings is the names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. John, writing about the first beast in the end days in Revelation 13, writes, and the beast was given a mouth, uttering haughty and blasphemous words, and it was allowed to exercise authority for 42 months. It opened its mouth to utter blasphemies against God, blaspheming his name and his dwelling, that is, those who dwell in heaven. Also, it was allowed to make war on the saints and to conquer them. And authority was given to it over every tribe and people and language and nation, and all who dwell on earth will worship it. And everyone whose name has not been written before the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who was slain. The people left over were people who were not in the book. They were the ones left over dealing with the beast in Revelation 13. 13:5 mentions that it was done before the foundation of the world, so before the earth even started, and before the forming was done, the writing was done in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, this describes those that were left that were not in the book. Revelation 21:22 describes those who are in the book. And this news is a lot brighter. And I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory onto it. And its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. They will bring into it the glory and honor of the nations, but nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false. For only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So here we have those that have their names written in the book where the decision has been made who is going to be saved and who isn't. That is an enormous blessing. That's the first blessing we get if the name is actually in there. And if your name in there, count your blessings and see what God has done, as the hymn says. Luke 10:17 says, the 72 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this. Don't rejoice in the power I've given you to tread on serpents and scorpions. Do not rejoice on this that are the spirits subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. That's what you rejoice over. Count your many blessings. Name them one by one. A second blessing is the gift of his son Jesus. Now, we could spend a lot of time on here, and Jim certainly has in many of the sermons, so you can go see that discussed at greater length. But Jesus died for the sins of the elect. It's not election that saves us, because election does not make our sin go away. It is Christ on the cross that pays for our sin penalty. That sin penalty is death. paid for by Christ. We are saved by the blood of Christ and assured of salvation by election and our name in the book of life. He paid the ransom to redeem us, and he himself was that ransom. We are set free from our sin debt by the blood of Christ. He did it all, and it is finished. As we count our many blessings, name them one by one, the gift of Jesus Christ to pay our sin debt is certainly one of the greatest. Third blessing, as we name them and thank God while we are naming them, is the gift of his grace. Ephesians 3:7 says, "Of this gospel I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me by the working of his power." Here, God's grace is called a gift. In the next chapter in Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 7, it says, "But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift." Again, his grace is a gift to us. Count your many blessings and see what God has done. We have many, many more blessings beyond these. We have the blessing of a great pastor. Most of us have been to other churches with, less enthusiasm than we have when we're here listening. I have certainly been to a couple other churches, and it is quite a blessing what God has done to us and how he has worked in Jim and taken Jim through the valleys and out the other side. And he has been in valleys. But what a blessing it is from God that we can have a pastor lead us and has led us these 19 years. Next year will be our 20th year. The blessings of teachers, we can take advantage of them on the internet. The blessings of his word, we are quite fortunate that we're able to continue on. He has brought us a building here that we can be in safely. We are in a country where so far we can preach the word of God. How long that continues remains to be seen, but God is still on his throne. This is not the first time the United States has been through difficulties. The Civil War was a piece of ugliness. We've had other difficulties. We've been involved in world wars. So while 2020 was a difficult time, God was on his throne then, he's on his throne now, and he'll be on his throne in the coming year. Some blessings are on a more personal level. It might not fit to everyone, and as a matter of fact, it might get so personal that I'm going to mention a blessing here that I just got in the last 24 hours. Small stuff compared to Jesus on the cross. Small stuff, but I didn't think it would happen, and I've got no way of explaining it. But to keep from getting too long and too technical, I had a music recording software that about 4 months ago I discovered was ruined, essentially, and I wouldn't be able to use again. And everything indicated that my iPad was too old. That's what they told me at Apple. It's too old to be updated, to be able to take the new stuff on. And because I don't have the new one, I can download the software again. So I'm stuck in both cases. I've got an old iPad that can't be updated. And because it can't be updated, I can't download the software. Those two strikes left me out of luck. There's nothing I could find on the internet that could explain it. Nothing I could do about it. Approximately a month and a half ago, I gave up. The only solution is to buy another iPad. And with Christmas coming on and a variety of things happening in the last month and a half, I just put that off to another day. Then yesterday, while in the doctor's office with our pastor, I looked on my iPad, and for no good reason, it was offering me an update. Now, they had told me that they couldn't update a computer, the iPad, because it was too old. That's what happens with iPads. When they get too old, they don't update them anymore. But there it was, waiting for me, ready to press the button. I've got nothing to lose. My iPad is ancient. I press the button, go ahead and update it. An hour later, it updated. Now, I didn't get the brand new, completely update one, but I got a step or two ahead of where the old one was. So it downloaded some kind of update. Well, that's a surprise. As long as we're dealing on miracles here, I started looking around, see if it was possible to download that recording software. It took me all of 20 seconds before a pathway was opened up that said it could be done. That pathway wasn't there before because I've been all over the computer trying to find some way to fix this. But it offered a chance. What do I got to lose? Everything's old. It's not working anyway. Give it a shot. I pressed go for it and waited, and it was slow. So I sat it down and I went to bed because nothing was going to happen anytime soon. I woke up and it appeared to have downloaded. I opened it up, started poking around. Looks pretty good. This is impossible. They said it couldn't be done because they're only going to download and give you the top of the line, the most recent update of that software. And there's no way my iPad could handle it, even with the update. And yet, there it is. So I poked around, and temptation was on me. Oh, I wanted to spend the day on that, looking around and seeing what could it do. But I had other things to do. I say this to tell you that basically something that was impossible on two different fronts happened right in front of me in the last 24 hours. And I can't wait till tomorrow morning to get up and plug in my goodies. So I'm really looking forward to tomorrow morning to see if this is actually going to function right. And it was something that I thought was impossible on two different fronts. I look at that as a blessing because I expect to have a lot of fun with this. But how many people went through that blessing? For all I know, I'm the only one walking on the planet that's getting that blessing, because you have to have an ancient iPad and be interested in the software and so forth and so forth. So it kind of wipes out everybody else. But there it was on two fronts, something offered to me and seems to have worked out. That's a nice blessing. Completely didn't expect to see it. So blessings tend to go in one direction. They go in one direction because if there's an interaction, really you're paying for something or doing something to earn it. It's not grace and it's not really a blessing. Acts chapter 8 verse 14 talks about this. It says, when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent to them Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For the Spirit had not yet fallen on any of them. But they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Now when Simon saw that the Spirit was given through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money, saying, give me this power also, so that anyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit. But Peter said to him, may your silver perish with you, because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money. The blessings go in one direction. That's why it's grace. If there was an interaction and a trading of something of value, it wouldn't be grace. Count your many blessings. See what God has done. Back at the start, we did an intro, which basically says, let's praise God tonight. Let's consider the blessings that he's done for us, because they are many. And importantly, they are permanent. The Lamb's Book of Life, where our names are written, is permanent. The work of Christ on the cross is permanent. The work of the Holy Spirit on us is permanent. It doesn't change, even if the world goes nuts. I've tried to use God's word to edify the saints, to encourage you, to hopefully give you greater peace and increase your peace of contentment, knowing that the gifts of God are permanent. They don't just come and go with the saints. 2020 was an ugly year. There is every indication that it gets worse from here. Jim has spoken from the pulpit here and said, cheer up, saints, it's going to get worse. I see it much darker than that. Hang on, saints, this is going to be ugly. And there is every reason to think that. I am going to really bite my tongue and avoid politics. I am going to stick with God's blessings are permanent. The gift of his son Jesus and the atoning work is permanent. Your names being written in the Lamb's Book of Life is permanent. Your salvation is permanent. What blessings we have, and when we sit down and pray to our Father, thank him, and say what you're thanking him for. Just as when you beg forgiveness, say what it is you're asking forgiveness for. So I say that to try to encourage you with the year to come. Because like I said, although Jesus is King, he is Lord and Savior, God is on his throne, that doesn't mean that 2020 isn't going to be ugly. Because God has been on his throne through the American Civil War, through World War I and II. God has been on his throne through difficult, ugly times. But hang on to his blessings, because the blessings are permanent. So while the storm is raging, know that God is where he should be, and he is in quite control, and he'll take care of you. That's the message for tonight. Increase the peace. Steve.
I think it was last Thursday, after the pastor made that comment, as he is repeatedly sure of saying it's going to get worse, I was talking to a lady who lives someplace in the West and works for my company. She had a computer problem, which I helped her with. Somehow or other, we got on to the subject of the new president and things that are going to be coming our way. She was clearly a conservative. And as we talked further, it also became evident that she was a Christian. And I said, well, just last night, our pastor made a comment that really has blessed me. It goes like this. Cheer up, saints. It's going to get worse. And she hesitated, and I said, now you have to understand what that means. First of all, King Jesus has not abdicated his throne. King Jesus still knows what will happen in 2021. Even though all the signs are pointing in bad ways, he's still in control. And all of this is in preparation for the true kingdom of peace that awaits us. By the time I was done with that brief explanation, she was crying. And she said, I can't tell you how much that meant to me. I really needed to hear that. Now, I was just repeating what the pastor said. Very briefly, what he had said at great length. And it was a blessing to this woman who clearly was very fearful. But she needed a reminder that we have nothing to fear. The king still is on the throne. And no matter what this world thinks about how it's going to remove his control, it will not succeed. And I was encouraged by the fact that she was encouraged, because it reminded me again of that blessing. I mean, I think I'm going to be disappointed and more than likely disgusted by most political decisions that are made starting January 20th. But it doesn't matter. God has it all under control.
Well, faith is also one of those gifts. And when you do have faith and you have that gift of the Holy Spirit working in you, even though sin is still a part of you and the battle continues to rage inside, still being able to have that faith, that gift from God, is a tremendous help in getting through valleys. because they will be with her. Storms will be there, valleys will be there. That's just part of living. But it also gives you greater confidence knowing that when God is with you in the valley and you come out the other side, once you've had success once, it makes it easier for the second time to happen. And once you've been through five valleys, all of a sudden the sixth valley isn't quite as big a panic time. And that's God making you stronger in your faith. I have a family that, the whole family now that my dad has passed, I'm the only one that believes in Jesus, that's a churchgoer. I mean, everybody else is, for the most part, they don't want to talk about it at all. And how they got that way, I'm guessing they're not spending any time in here. I mean, I'm feeling pretty confident about that. But even if you do start spending time in here, if God doesn't give you understanding to be able to see the words in front of you, you're not going to get it. And I know that personally, because for years and years and years, while I could understand many parts of the Bible, Romans just drove me nuts. Because I've never experienced a book that I could read, and after it's done, I just scratch my head, and it made no sense to me. And that happened for years and years, and that didn't clean up until, 20 years ago. But that was odd, and that taught me about what it's like for some people who have the word in front of them, but they don't get it, because that was me for a long time. And that's an encouragement to you that when you know somebody like that that doesn't get it, that can change, because it changed in me suddenly. And all of a sudden I saw Romans and could understand what was there right in front of me. It was in front of me the whole time, but I didn't get it. So God opens your eyes. Another gift, count your blessings, name them one by one.
I think sometimes we Calvinists forget that the knowledge we have of the doctrines of grace is a matter of grace.
Mm-hmm. I'm open to anybody else who wants to add anything. Any blessings that are especially good that's personal? Okay, let's wind it up then. Our Father in heaven, thank you for this time to look into your word, to look into your blessings, and to stop and say thank you. Thank you for the many, many blessings. Thank you for giving us the ability to name them so that you know that we appreciate the blessing of your Son, the blessing of our name being written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And blessing after blessing after blessing. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And we pray that you will keep us safe and help us to grow stronger in your word and increase our peace and contentment that we have in knowing you are there, knowing you are on the throne, knowing that Jesus is our Lord and Savior. And really, we have nothing to fear, even with the storm and the valleys around us. You are God, you are the Almighty, and you have us in your hand, and we thank you for that. Please bring us back here again on Sunday. And we thank you in the name and authority of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.